Hi, I'm Leela Ainge, psychologist and researcher. Welcome back to Psychologically Speaking, a podcast all about human behaviour, bringing together fascinating research insights and real-life experiences. In the next season of Psychologically Speaking, we are going to follow people who have set goals and New Year's resolutions. But whilst I'm busy recording those sessions, I'm going to use this time to share some of the findings from my recent research project, Good Girl Economics, in collaboration with Nikki Denson Elliott. The whole project was really looking for evidence around internalized misogyny. So this is the idea that women hold sexist beliefs, and this unfolds in the way that we do business. We were very curious and we surveyed over 200 women and then followed this up with interviews led by Nikki. All of our participants gave their informed consent, of course, and we conducted the research in line with British Psychological Society ethical standards. The first white paper is out and that report is all about money. We wanted to understand how women thought about money, and what follows is a piece that I've written for Substack and LinkedIn this week on a phenomenon of silence. Enjoy. The polite silence keeping women underpaid. When we asked women how they decided on pricing in their business, the answers could as easily have been for a question such as, are you kind in business? Or how do you show generosity? And isn't that curious? Over the summer, I collaborated on a big research project, Good Girl Economics, with Nikki Denson Elliott. She wanted to explore the internalized misogyny and the narratives and thoughts that women hold against other women. The results of this research have been fascinating for a couple of reasons. Firstly, there was a real gap between what women told us they believed in the survey stage and their behaviour in the interviews. And we asked money-specific questions like this in our survey. So I felt ashamed of wanting more money, even if I've deserved it. And we asked women to agree or disagree. I've judged other women for charging high prices and then felt unsure about my own. And mostly, and as expected, with our targeted group, women strongly disagreed with these statements. Women weren't saying that they felt ashamed of making more money, and they said that they weren't going to judge other women for charging high prices. But in psychological research, there are reasons why participants might answer in a socially desirable way in a survey. And we phrased our questions really carefully, but we could not remove the chance of bias completely. And this is where it's really interesting that our interviews revealed something different. Our interviews told a different story because here it wasn't what women told us, it was what they didn't say that surfaced a belief and a behaviour gap. So from a feminist and critical psychology perspective, the unsaid is shaped by who's allowed to speak and at what cost. And we find this is particularly relevant for gendered context. So if we think about things like money and ambition and anger, there's a piece by Lisa Matze and Poetic Understanding of Silence in Qualitative Research. It's a wonderful article. And she says that we should pay increased attention to silent subtexts. So what she's saying there is her work saying that we should describe this phenomenon of what is a veiled silence. So where the participant is not literally silent, but like our participants, their answers are shaped by their own interpretation of the question being asked. So from over 900 minutes of interviews on money, the word profit was completely absent. And on first listening to the transcripts, I noted, you know, the ease at which the participants settled into the question set and the openness that the existing relationship with Nikki provided. So these were lots of conversational markers that the interviews were flowing. There were you know, the usual hesitations, but no long or protracted silences between the interviewer or interviewee that would lead me to think that there was a lack of trust in that interview space. Women had volunteered to talk and they gave their views so generously. But on the second and third listening, as is the practice for reflexive thematic analysis, I was intrigued and fascinated by the deflection and soft answers. And I'll describe this as a gendered performance of acceptability. So this is what Matsay describes as purposeful, meaningful presence. When we asked how they decided on pricing, the answers could have just as easily been for a question such as, how do you show generosity? And this is that veiled silence, because women didn't answer the specific question asked, they answered their interpretation of that question. So when we're asking about how do you price and how do you value your business, they started talking to us about generosity and kindness and not necessarily money. And it's curious, isn't it? Because for the women we spoke to, the absence of profit sits at this intersection of psychological concepts around impression management. I want to be seen as generous, ethical, relatable, collaborative, and internalized misogyny and all the norms that go along with it. Women are rewarded for warmth and they're punished for assertiveness. It also speaks silently to this avoidance of stereotype backlash, because we know that women who talk about money or power do face negative judgment. And we have to address the context in our own research. That is a sense of kind of belonging, protection. So from a reflexive standpoint, these women were in conversation with the community leader, Nikki, and especially when we feel safe in our communities, we might not risk that safety by stepping outside of the norms, even when that community and that community leader stands for feminist principles. So what these rich conversations showed us is just how deeply internalized messages around ambition, money, and success are for women. These conversations don't exist in a vacuum. The pattern we heard was this one: belonging comes before profit. And it plays out in a wider creative and entrepreneurial space too. You do see it in the way online audiences respond when a woman has built trust and connection and begins to monetize their work. The message underneath is very familiar, because community is noble, but profit is suspect. We've watched it on Substack in the backlash directed at writers who bring in a publishing history with them. The implication was definitely, how dare she earn here as well? And there's some tension echoed with our survey, because the strongest disagreement that I've judged other women for charging high prices, and the opposite behaviour, which looks like avoidance of talking about profit at all. If we really weren't judging other women for charging high prices, we wouldn't be silent about talking about money and profit, would we? Many women don't mention profit, not because they don't want it, but because they fear being seen the way we talk about women. That is to say, ambitious, strategic, financially successful, and therefore somehow suspect. You can read the white paper looking at our findings and money at www.leelaange.co.uk/research. We have further analysis on the childhood scripts women have absorbed and taken on as their own narrative coming in the new year. And it starts to explain some of the findings that we are seeing here. I'm back next week with interviews from Jen and Rebecca, who are setting very different goals for 2026. And on theme, here's Jen talking about making money.
I'm going to say that that's where the resolution comes in, because it is quite, I find it quite a conflict in terms of the fact that I just want people to be nurtured. One side feels very easy and the other side feels like yuck.
So tell me about the yuck bits. Be very specific here.
Oh, okay. So the yuck, being put on the spot. Well, it's quite deep, isn't it? I guess it's that maternal giving versus the yuck is the expectation of remuneration back, and it's that self-worth, I'm guessing, isn't it? Of I'm quite happy to give, but actually it's the receiving side, that people pleasing versus, you know, actually come along, this is going to be great, and selling yourself.
And Rebecca, talking about the access to resources that she has.
I feel like I would start and totally lose momentum, that I'd be like, oh, this is exciting, because this is how my brain works. Just thinking that ages ago, a couple of times I went to a thing in Bandon called Walter's HQ, and that would be a good way of maybe getting into writing, I guess, on days where I lose momentum at work or I'm having a quieter day, I guess, use the downtime. Google publishers or email one of my contacts saying what is the process.
I love that you're identifying the types of resources and support that can scaffold your goal now. Yeah.
That's all for today. Thanks for listening to Psychologically Speaking with me, Leela Ainge. And a reminder, please subscribe to the podcast so you are the first to hear those wonderful interviews next week.